Hi guys, and welcome to the Living Deeply Stories podcast. I'm your host, Morel Parker, and today I'm going to tell the story of getting dumped at the Great Wall of China. So this might not be the story that you think it is. I know I talk a lot about breakup stories, but this is a bit of a different one today. So stay tuned, and I'll get to that in a moment. I started thinking about my trip to the Great Wall because I recorded a YouTube video and wrote my my blog post today about the performance artist Marina Abramović, who did an epic breakup piece at the Great Wall of China. And so if you're interested to learn more about that, then check out the YouTube video or So I have a YouTube channel, which is Merle Parker, and yeah, it's about modern love, the epic breakup, and Marina Abramović. Or you can have a look at the blog post or newsletter that I wrote to read about it. So, but let me tell you about my story about getting dumped at the Great Wall of China. So the year was 2010, I think, and 2010, and I was 31 years old, and I had been living in Switzerland for about a year with my husband, new husband, Swiss husband, and then we had been going back and forth, getting married, like going back to Australia, going back. So I had been back there for 6 months and I was able to work in that time. And so we always had this idea that we couldn't decide where we wanted to live. So we thought that we would live for a few years in Switzerland, in Lucerne, and then live in Perth for a few years. And so go back and forth like that. But after doing it just like twice, we decided that was a lot of work. But anyway, I won't tell you the rest of that story. So in this story, I'd gone back to Switzerland after getting married, age 31, and then I was able to work. So we were going to go back to live in Australia, in Perth, after this 6 months, and we decided that we wanted to do this big trip through Asia for 2 months. And so I went back to Switzerland and I was able to work. I worked as an English as a second language teacher, and we lived in this small but very cute apartment, one bedroom apartment in almost in the town centre of Lucerne. And at that time, I just remember working a lot between being in the cozy apartment. So I would work at one school, which was a like one-on-one students, and I didn't have to do very much preparation because it was one of those schools where you just go in and teach whatever class they had programmed. And another school where I was more free, as I was used to make up my own classes. So I was working a lot, and then we went on our trip. And so halfway through the trip, we went to China for 3 weeks. And as part of that, we went to Beijing. And of course, we wanted to go and visit the Great Wall of China. So this is how it happened. We were staying with some family friends of my husband. And during the day, we went into the center of Beijing to visit the Summer Palace. And it was winter at the time, by the way. And so visiting the Summer Palace, we got this guide, and he spoke good English, and he asked us if we wanted to, or we asked him perhaps, that we needed to get to the Great Wall of China, and we didn't want to go like on a tour, we just wanted a driver to take us there. So he organized it for us. And we said to him that we just wanted a small car because it was only the two of us for the day, and that we wanted to, yeah, like we wanted to, the trip was to take 2 hours. And so we set the price and everything and organized this before. So on the day, I think it was a Sunday when the guy was came to pick us up. Firstly, it was a big van, and then the driver didn't speak English. We had to, if we needed to communicate anything, we had to communicate by calling that, he called that guide, and then the guide would translate over the phone. But at first we didn't need to communicate, so we set off, and we had already decided on the price because we didn't want to end up paying a whole lot of tolls on the way. So we thought that by deciding the price beforehand, we would cover that problem. So the driver takes off, we're excited, but he keeps on driving down, like as we get near the highway, he keeps on driving kind of like down dead ends, and it ends up taking us 4 hours to get there. So what we realize is that he was trying to avoid taking the main highway so that he wouldn't have to pay the toll, so that he could save some money. And so anyway, it took us 4 hours to get there, and we needed to get back to Beijing by the evening because it was the Australian Open final. Roger Federer was in it, and my husband was the biggest Roger Federer fan, so we needed to get back for that, and that was our one request, that we get back by 7 p.m. to watch the final. So we're 4 hours late when we get there, and then we go on the walk of the Great Wall, and it was amazing. There's all just wilderness around, you know, forests with snow and trees and mountains as far as the eye can see. And the actual wall is so, it was so physically challenging, the part of the wall that we went on. I don't know, there's, I think we might have chosen a part that is not the main touristy part. But there was still, well, there weren't many tourists there, but it was very challenging, and some of the steps are so big that you're walking up. I remember thinking it was one of the most physically challenging things that I'd ever done, and it was a bit like mountain climbing. So we walk the wall, it takes us about 3-4 hours, and at the end of the wall, we get to, we just come across this, what's it called? A flying fox that goes over this beautiful lake that's like turquoise, and they strap us both in together, and we glide over this lake, and we land back in the car park. So we're like, okay, great. So everything's working out well. And then we get back to our driver, who we said to him, we need to get back by 7 p.m. and or 5 p.m., whatever it was. And so we're talking through the phone interpreter, the other guide who's talking over the phone, and we're saying to him, we need to get back by this time. It should take 2 hours to get back because that's what the guidebook said. And the driver is saying through the interpreter that it's not possible to get back at that time because there's traffic at this time. And by this time, we have taken off from the car park, and we're driving and arguing at the same time in the van. And so we keep arguing, like, we need to get back in 2 hours. And he keeps saying, I can't get you back because of the traffic. And we're saying, but that's your fault because you took 4 hours to get there. So it goes on like this. And we said to the driver, we're only going to pay you half the money, like, if you don't get us back in time. And so the driver says through the interpreter, okay, you can get out now. And by this stage, we have left the car park and we're driving through the countryside. And so my husband and I look at each other and we think maybe we can get back to the car park, and we're able to get another driver. I don't know if we expressed this, but we communicated it with our look, and we were just like, okay, let's get out. So we paid the driver half the money, and he leaves us in the middle of the countryside. As soon as we get out, and the thing about with my ex-husband and I, we were very good manifestors together. He's a generator in human design, and I am a projector. So he has the, you know, energy source and I'm the guide. So we got a lot of stuff done together. I mean, of course, we also had our issues. Otherwise, we wouldn't be, we would still be together. But that's another story. But we were good at manifesting together. But we got out. So we got out. We're in the countryside. There's all snow around. So we're just on a road. And immediately a bus came. So we got on the bus and the bus took us back to the car park. So then we're in the car park and we're trying to negotiate a price to get back to Beijing. And the drivers are wanting to charge these exorbitant prices. And so we're standing with a group of drivers, arguing them, trying to negotiate, thinking, oh no, we've made a mistake, but this was what we wanted. We wanted a certain price, and that was how we manifested. We were just like, well, this is what we want, and so we believe that it could happen. So we're arguing with the drivers, thinking like, oh no. And just then two young Chinese guys pull up in a car and said, do you want to lift to the next town? Or do you want to lift? So we were like, okay. And we get into the cars and the drivers are spewing because we just take off with these guys. And so we're driving through the countryside now, all snow around, and they're playing like Jay-Z hip hop and blaring through the speakers, and it's just the most magical moment. And so they take us to the next town where we can then, they say we can drop us at a bus stop where we can get a bus back to Beijing. So we got our bus back to Beijing, and it was for nothing really compared to what they wanted to charge us. The guys didn't want any money. They were just doing a good service. And so we just had to pay the bus fare to get back to Beijing. So I don't recommend, I recommend going with strangers, but it worked out well in this instance. And we got back to Beijing and we got to watch the Australian Open. And I think that Federer won it that year. Hopefully that would make the best story if it did. I think so. Let's just say that. So that's my story about getting dumped at the Great Wall. So I hope you've enjoyed it. And I would love it if you could leave me a quick review wherever you find this podcast, and I will see you next week for the show. I hope you've enjoyed it. And check out my blog post or the YouTube video if you want to know more about Marina Abramović, the performance artist's breakup at the Great Wall. That one is actually a breakup. So yes, leave me a review, lots of love, and I hope you've enjoyed my story of the Living Deeply Stories podcast. Bye for now. Bye.